Although the celebration is behind us, Chuck Swindoll has chosen to present another message on the resurrection, because Easter doesn't end with the empty tomb. The risen Lord ignited a revolution we feel to this day. Today on Insight for Living, we'll be looking at the last recorded words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus delivered a mandate to his disciples, and it's a responsibility we carry as well. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Marching Orders from the Master. And we begin with prayer.
Our Father, we humbly bow before you with deepest gratitude and absolute humility. We do not open your word to find our curiosity satisfied. We open your word and we consult your truth so that our lives might be transformed. And because there is no other book that can do that, we stand before you when we read it, and we bow before you as we apply it. Have patience with us, Lord, for we often wander, we sometimes hide or attempt to do so. We find ourselves overwhelmed with guilt and shame, though you have provided for us in such a way there is no need for either. So remind us through the morning that you love us enough to instruct us and to warn us and to prepare us for life as it really is. And thank you, Father, that the acts continue to go on from the first century to the 21st. Your disciples have carried your message. May we be faithful to do so in our generation. We give our gifts today, Lord, that others might carry that message to places we will never go, in languages we will never speak, among cultures that are unfamiliar to us and in some ways frightening. Give them great grace. Give them divine protection. Give them great encouragement as they carry that responsible message around the world. And give us the faith to believe that our gifts today will play a major part in that. Our giving represents the kind of change you can bring over us, for we are by nature selfish, self-serving. We hoard rather than release. And show us, Lord, over and over in our lives that it is far more blessed to give than to receive, far more blessed to give than to keep. We give you thanks, Father, for the way you take care of us. And we realize that you do that because you love us. You watch over us. You protect us. Because of this and a thousand other reasons, we release to you our gifts now. Use them, we pray, in wise and wonderful ways to change the lives of others. We pray through Christ, our Lord and Master. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Marching Orders from the Master.
After over 3 years of being trained in the presence of, in the shadow of, sitting alongside, sometime sleeping next to, eating with, watching the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his wonder. And at the end of the course, some are still doubting. These are the people who are going to take the baton and are going to run the race after Jesus leaves the earth. So when you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, that as he was lifted up, they were looking on, and the cloud received him out of their sight. He's leaving. He said he would go, and now it's happening. What do we do? Where do we go? You know, this scene portrayed in Acts 1, far more significant than when you and I lose a parent, our last parent. This is their master. He's the reason they left their careers. He's the reason that they determined that they would learn how to become fishers of men and women. He was their sole purpose for existence. He was their lifeline. And now, even though he said, I'm going to send another who will be for you everything you need and give you power you don't. All of that is theory right now. These are words. And you know what is somewhat tragic in all of this? I'm not sure they really heard what he said to them just before he left the earth. I know they heard it, but it took the presence of the Holy Spirit to drill those words into their lives so that they did indeed take the baton and run their part of the race before handing it off to the next generation who handed it off to another, and now we have taken it and we run our generation. Or do we? Are we? And what are the marching orders of a master like this? What is it he has to say to us that will equip us for the running and give us the reminders of what our goal is in life? To find out what that is, I have to go to what is commonly called the Great Commission. I turn from Acts 1, where he is being taken up, and they're standing gazing, and I go back to a few minutes earlier as I go back to Matthew 28 and I read this that has been called the missionary mandate. Just as Jesus came knowing his mission before there ever was time, the Godhead agreed, if you will, to use human terms, on a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation. The second member of the Trinity would come to this earth, would be born, conceived in a virgin's womb, would be born in Bethlehem and would grow up in Nazareth, and ultimately in manhood at about age 30, he takes on the role of an itinerant preacher and he walks this earth for three and a half years before he dies, paying the complete penalty for sin and his death. And then 3 days and nights later, he is raised from the dead. What's interesting, and get this, between the angel's words, he is risen, and the angel's words, he has been taken up, or 40 days. 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1, where he ministers and touches lives and ultimately gives them words that they would live on now that he would be leaving them. It all is based on his authority to do so. We read in verse 18, Jesus spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, what is it to which we submit? At the risk of sounding a little pedantic here, a little intellectual, let me reduce it to four verbs. Look at them in verses 19 and 20. If you have a pencil, you might want to circle them. Go. Next you read, make disciples. The third is a participle, baptizing. And the fourth is mentioned at the beginning of verse 20, teaching. Go, make disciples, baptizing, teaching. I think of them as four soldiers standing guard over this magnificent, treasured truth. And those four soldiers have guarded this truth all through time since Jesus spoke them. It looks as though the highest ranking soldier among these centuries is the one named Go, but he isn't. You might want to think of it also as a participle, going. The main verb, grammatically, the dominant imperative is make disciples. That's the dominant, highest ranking verb. That's at the heart of what this one in authority is telling us. So we might read it, going, or as you go, make disciples. A part of that is baptizing, and a part of that is teaching. Let's start with going, since it's named first, used first in Jesus' words. The going cannot be overstated. And understand what it does not mean. Obviously, it's not going from where you're sitting out into another room of this church. It's not going from this house of worship out to your car and then to your home. It isn't going from this building to some other building in the community. It's going, look at what it says, look for yourself. It's an action that leads ultimately to making disciples of whom? Look at it. All the nations. I mean, does that really mean that? Of course it does. In fact, Acts 1:8 ends with to the remotest part of the earth. The tiniest island of the sea, the most obscure of places. Revelation 14:6 refers to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. It covers the waterfront. What an audacious command. What a monumental mission. Think of this. He's speaking to a handful of believers who have hardly gotten out of their own country, except in their imagination. But he doesn't say go to all Israel. He doesn't even say go to all Eastern Mediterranean countries, or to those countries that surround the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. He doesn't say go all the way through Europe until you come to the Isles that would ultimately be called the British Isles. He says, all the nations. You have any idea how many nations there are? Our State Department released figures that were of interest to us at our radio ministry, Insight for Living. Some time ago, we came across that number. There are 195 nations. And that number gave birth to what has become our motto. We call it Vision 195. 195 nations internationally. We've named our building the International Headquarters of Insight for Living Ministries. We've done that on purpose, because our desire is to train those who will take the message, who will translate the message, who will send the message ultimately to all 195 of the nations, the countries. Let me give you a few facts about our world you may not have heard before, or you may have heard and forgotten. Earth weighs, not a funny beginning of a sentence, our Earth weighs 6.6 sextillion tons. Isn't that exciting? I only mention it because I've read it in this work that was my resource, and in that same work I found more about Earth than its weight, which I'd never read before. The circumference around planet Earth is 24,901.55 miles. We call it 25,000 miles around it, rounded off. It's 24,901.55. Of that mass, 57,300,000 square miles are land, which leaves 139,500,000 square miles of water, in which are numerous islands. By the way, in all of the 195 nations, it has been found that there are 6,875 heart languages. We in our Insight for Living ministry are committed to translating ultimately into all of those languages. It is a goal that will outlive us and our generation and the generation after ours. But it's a goal, Vision 195. Back to the text. All the nations. Which means that the Lord God, who is in authority over everyone and everything, desires that all the nations hear the message of Christ, and that the message of Christ be carried by disciples. Now we come to the main verb, the prominent imperative, make disciples. Please observe, it does not say make converts. It does not stop with win the lost. That's a start. But disciples are not simply converts. All disciples are converts, but not all converts become disciples. Stay with me. We are to make disciples. What does that mean? In my words, I would say it like this. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are to be engaged in enrolling people in the school of Jesus Christ, the Lord. We are to tutor them in various parts of his curriculum. It's an educational term, if you will. It means learners. Make learners. Make disciples. It's a relational term as well. We are to mentor them. It requires spending time with others as they mature in their walk and life of obedience. It is to assist them in their growth in knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is encouraging them to become spiritually self-sustaining, learning how to nourish themselves in the things of God. It is helping others to deepen their faith, to make a dramatic, personal, permanent change in lifestyle, so that Christ is preeminent in thought, in attitude, in deed, in motive, in response to his written word. I like the way Alan Redpath wrote it in his book, The Making of a Man of God, a book on David. In that book appears this line: the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The making of a saint is the task of a lifetime. Change his word saint to disciple, and you've got the picture. In a moment of time, you can be converted to Christ. It isn't a long process. It may take a while to get there, but when you come to Christ, when you come to faith in Christ, you move from darkness to light in a moment of time. You move from being lost to being saved. You move from an observer to one who is engaged in the life of faith in a moment of time. At that moment, several things occur. Someone has counted over 30 things that occur. Among them, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. And the things of God's Word that did not make much sense when you were looking into this thing called Christ and the life of Christ and Christianity, now it's like the book is open and verses make sense and understanding accompanies instruction. All a process of maturing. I've just finished a book. I never talk about stuff like this, but it ties in beautifully. It carries in mind the idea of food. It's in three parts. I call the book Searching the Scriptures, but the three parts are finding the food, fixing the meals, serving the feast. A disciple learns to cook for himself or herself. Nourishing meals. Meals that begin with coming to the Word of God, making a serious observation of the text, an interpretation of the Scriptures, not only seeing what they say, but understanding what they mean, and then correlating one Scripture with others so that you compare verses with verses, and ultimately applying the text, which has to do with finding out what it says to me and to others. It's all part of searching the Scripture. A disciple learns how to search the Scriptures on your own. Part of becoming an adult is fixing your own meals. Now, when some of us cook, it's a little scary. All the wives said, yeah, I hear you. We men mean well, but we often don't do it that well. But when you are a disciple, you learn how to do it well.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Marching Orders from the Master. To request a copy of this message, you can go online to insightworld.org/store. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment. First, though, a reminder that on Thursday, we'll resume Chuck's classic series, Biblical Parenting. And to complement our study on the family, we've put together another fun Searching the Scriptures quiz for you. Be sure to take a few minutes to test your knowledge on biblical families by going to insight.org/quiz. This particular quiz is called Family Tree Fun. As you've heard me say on many occasions, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible because listeners like you give voluntary donations. Many have decided to automate their giving as a monthly companion. Well, today, we're saying thanks for your first donation as a monthly companion or your special one-time gift by providing an exclusive collection of 3 CDs. The package is called A Living Hope. Chuck, I know how strongly you feel about the value of our monthly companions.
Well, that's true, Dave. My feelings of gratitude run deep today for every single monthly companion. Life is far better when we do things together. After all, God never designed us to be sequestered in isolation. He wired us to live in community with one another. And our monthly companions are those who have said to me, "Hey, Chuck, let's do this thing together. I want to come alongside and walk with you. I'm ready to be a part of the family that causes Insight for Living Ministries to thrive. Responses like that are so encouraging to me because Insight for Living Ministries could not exist without our monthly companions. I love the way Solomon's wisdom is declared in the New Living Translation. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4:12, which reads, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." It's my voice you hear every day teaching the Bible, but trust me on this, it takes a family of loyal monthly companions to provide insight for living. So let me urge you to strengthen the braided cord by becoming a monthly companion today. Dave?
To respond to Chuck Swindoll and become a monthly companion right now, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. With your first donation as a new monthly companion, or when you give a special one-time gift, we'll be saying thanks by providing a unique collection of CDs called A Living Hope. The first two CDs contain messages from Chuck Swindoll, including the complete sermon you heard today. And the third CD includes an inspirational concert by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. To give a one-time donation and request the CD collection, A Living Hope, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us for the conclusion of Chuck Swindoll's message, Marching Orders from the Master, Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Marching Orders from the Master, was copyrighted in 2016, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.